Welcome to the Beeson Podcast, coming to you from Beeson Divinity School on the campus of Samford University. Now your host, Doug Sweeney.
Welcome to the Beeson Podcast. I'm your host, Doug Sweeney, and I am joined today by my friend and newest faculty member here at Beeson Divinity School, Dr. Tim Tennant. Dr. Tennant is our new Methodist Chair of Divinity at Beeson. He's also well known for being a missiologist, an expert in missions and world Christianity, and we are just thrilled to have him here on the Beeson team and to have him on the podcast today. So thank you, Dr. Tennant, for being with us.
Thank you, Doug. It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
So lots of us in the larger Beeson family are getting to know you these days. Probably we'll have some people tuning into this podcast who haven't yet had the privilege of getting to know you. So let me start by just introducing you to them. Let's see. Tell us how you came to know the Lord to begin with and how you got involved in ministry as a young man.
Well, thank you. I was raised in Atlanta by wonderful godly parents, but I didn't really hear the gospel with clarity until 1976 when I was a young junior in high school. I was invited to a Southern Baptist layperson's home for a Bible study, which I attended, and he eventually shared the gospel with me with clarity and led me into receiving Christ, my Lord and Savior.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And then how long was it before you felt like the Lord is pulling you into ministry?
It was about 3 years after that I was at a small Methodist college in Georgia called Young Harris, and it was during that time that I had a very powerful encounter with the Lord, and He called me into full-time ministry, and so that's where I've been headed ever since.
So our listeners should know your ministry has been varied. You've been a pastor, you've been a professor, you've been the president of a seminary, and you've taught in multiple schools, different kinds of schools over the years. How did it all get started? Was pastoral ministry first?
Yes, pastoral ministry was first, and at some point I was living close to a college in Georgia called Tocoa Falls College, and so I taught some theology courses for them part-time, and then that eventually rolled into them offering a position to teach missions there, because I was involved. I've been teaching overseas in India before that, but in terms of the U.S., it happened at Tocoa Falls College, and then I went from there to Gordon-Conwell, and then from there to Asbury.
Yeah. How long did you teach at Gordon-Conwell? They're one of our sister schools, too.
Yes, I taught there. I directed a missions program for 11 years there.
All right. And during that 11 years, we've got a lot of pastors and other prospective students thinking about ministry leadership who would like a question like this, I believe.
Okay.
Were you getting kind of groomed to be the president of a school during that time? Were you thinking all the while, you know what, I'm a prof and I like being a prof and I like preaching in churches and doing all the things that seminary profs do with no thought of being the leader of a school someday? How did God kind of get you ready to be the president of one of the largest seminaries in the country?
Well, yeah, the short answer is no. I had not thought about that, and I was not particularly interested in someday being in an administrative role like that. I love teaching. I love being with students. But about 2005, I was nominated to be a part of a small study by the Lilly Foundation on could you prepare people to be a president.
Yes, I remember those.
Remember that? And so yeah. I was one of only four people selected for that program. It was a three-year program.
Yeah.
We went all over the country and interviewed presidents, found out what they did, et cetera. And one of the ironies of that is that we among ourselves said, well, after we know too much, who would now do it? You know, it was like, well, is this supposed to help us? You know, we used to laugh about it. But after the end of 3 years, we realized how important the job was. And I at the time, I had no idea that I'd be called into it. In fact, of the four of us, I was the first of the four to actually get a call to be a president. And so I had originally resisted it. I got several offers from Asbury to come interview. I said no, I wasn't interested. I was happy where I was. But eventually the Lord just impressed upon us we were to answer that. And so we eventually went down there and talked to the trustees, and it all eventually happened that I was made president. So that happened 15 and a half years ago. But no, it was a little bit of a surprise, but a wonderful time, because it was kind of like being in a factory, you know, where you know, you've been working on the factory line doing something, and you never really knew how the factory worked, you know, and suddenly I was brought into a world of of having to understand, you know, enrollment management, understanding, you know, finances, understanding physical plan issues, you know, raising money, I mean, on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And all that was, you know, I knew it from a distance, but not really intimately. So it was a tremendous, wonderful learning curve. I thank God for it. But it was a change of direction in my life, for sure.
Yeah. Well, what a blessing it is for us at Beeson to have somebody with all that kind of life experience, ministry experience, pastoral leadership experience, now joining the teaching team here in Birmingham. When did you, I'm not sure you'll have an exact answer to this, but roughly, when did you first learn about Beeson? I mean, how did God start working in your heart, preparing you for this someday opportunity to come join us?
I think I've known about Beeson for quite a long time. I remember hearing about Beeson, you know, in some of the early years. I didn't know much about it, but during my Gordon Conwell years, which would have been 1998 to 2009, that period, I became much more of Beeson. And I, of course, got connected to Timothy George in various settings. And so he is kind enough to invite me to be a part of various endeavors he was involved in. So I've been down here a few times over the years, spoken at graduation one year, did a couple lectureships. So I've always admired Beeson. I love the emphasis on classical education. I love the multidimensional aspect of the different denominations here, the kind of the evangelical vision. I love the mentoring aspect of Beeson. I mean, everything about Beeson I've always just admired from a distance, even though I've never been a part of it. So it's just a surprise and honor to be able to be a part of it now.
Yeah. Well, and I don't want to puff you up, but you're such a gift to the church that I know, because I recruited you to come to Beeson, that there were other people trying to get you to go other places. Was there something decisive about it? So why did you and Julie think the Lord had Beeson in mind for you rather than lots of other places that you might have gone?
Yeah, I was here, you know, as you know, I was here doing a lectureship last spring, and had not thought about coming here, and was actually on my way somewhere else in a pretty serious conversation with their school. But you and I talked together, and I think it was that conversation with you and your compelling vision for Beeson, where you wanted to head. You made a point, if you remember this, Dr. Sweeney, but you made a point in our conversation to say that when you came here, that you really had an interest in helping to introduce Beeson to world Christianity. Mm-hmm. And when you said that to me, it really struck me. And so mm-hmm. I went back and I looked at your inaugural address or whatever, something that you'd done when you first got here. And indeed, you had said that, and that was something you really was in your heart, not just because you were talking to me. And so I think that was a real determinative thing for me to realize that this God was calling us here.
All right. So you're too new to ask you any sort of big questions about, so what's Beeson like thus far? But maybe an interesting question would be, have you had a chance to catch your breath and just think a little bit about, so how does having been the president of Asbury, how is that something the Lord wants to continue using in my ministry at Beeson? Is there something about the lessons you learned about ministry, the church, leadership, global Methodism, that kind of thing that you're believing now the Lord was using, not solely to bring you to Beeson, but wants to use in your ministry here at Beeson?
Oh, certainly. I think that, as you know, Doug, you know, when you're a pastor and you move from being a pastor to being a professor, everything in your pastorate informs your work as a scholar, because you're writing and working for the church. And so I do think it's a blessing to have had 15 years working night and day on all the issues that Beeson struggles, I'm sure, with the same issues. And so, of course, when I come here, I bring all that I am and all that I've experienced. And I'm certainly be happy to help any way I can from what I've learned.
Well, there's two obvious ways that everybody's eager to have your help. One is you're an expert in world Christianity, missions, the work of the Lord around the world. The other is you're one of the most important leaders of global Methodism today. So maybe I'll ask you about those things in turn. What do our listeners need to know about what God's doing in the world today and what it means, whether you're a pastor or you're a lay Christian, to be somebody who's faithful enough in your discipleship so that you're learning about the larger family of God. You're better at praying about the work of the Lord around the world. And you're somebody who's developing the kind of heart, the kind of instincts that make you just a more helpful member of God's global family. What's the kind of teaching ministry with respect to world Christianity and missiology that you want to kind of filter down into the churches and really affect lots of church folks?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I think if we go back, you know, a generation, people thought about global Christianity, if they thought about it all as something that was like, you know, missionary work, other parts of the world. It was not really something that impacted our life, our churches here. But just to give you a sense of where we are globally, when I was born, when you were born, roughly 10 to 11 million people in the world lived outside of the country of their birth. 10 to 11 million people. Today, it's 281 million.
Wow.
So we actually are living at a time that hasn't quite been this way since the invasions into that eventually brought down the Roman Empire. It's been a long time since this many people have been on the move, and never at this scale ever in history. So what it means is that the entire world is here in Birmingham and every other city that hears this podcast. And so if you're a pastor today, it's not simply about, you know, what can we do for churches in India and China, et cetera. That's, of course, a big challenge as well. But it's also realizing that the whole global church is also here. The U.S. is unique in that every person from, at least somebody from every country in the world is in the U.S. And so the U.S. really has a unique role in the future of world Christianity. And so I think as a pastor, one has to be aware of the fact that the world as we know it is changing, even if you never go overseas and work, you know, with underachievable groups or special missional needs in the world, because they're right here in our midst.
Mm. Wonderful. All right, let's talk a little bit about Beeson's Wesleyan Certificate Program, the fact that Beeson is now an approved seminary of the Global Methodist Church. It's not that we're just now starting to serve and partner with Wesleyans and Methodists in ministry. We've done that for a while. But things are picking up in this respect these days at Beeson. The Wesleyan certificate is relatively new. The approval by the GMC, the Global Methodist Church, is relatively new. And, of course, we've got a wonderful new leader of the Wesleyan program here at Beeson. Any initial thoughts about hopes you have for building up the Wesleyan program at Beeson, goals you might have in mind for us as a school that's trying harder and harder these days to serve and partner with Wesleyans?
Yes, I think Beeson is a great opportunity for people to come from the Wesleyan world and study here. I'll be teaching the courses in that area. I think that I just always believe that every movement, in some ways, there's 45,000 denominations in the world today. It's unbelievable. But every movement goes back to somebody raising their hand and saying something was missing, something happened. It goes back to some renewal movement. And I think the Methodists, because they did come 200 years after the Reformation, they were able to reflect back on the Reformation with some helpfulness. And I've always believed in the phrase, as I know you know, the semper ecclesia reformanda, the church always in Reformation. So I believe there's gifts that the Wesleyan world can offer the wider church in terms of our understanding of grace and of sanctification, of holiness, discipleship, etc., that I think would be a blessing to all of the students at Beeson, and likewise the gifts that come out of the, you know, Baptist movements, Presbyterian Reform, Anglican, et cetera, also enrich us. And so I do believe that coming here in some ways helps you be a more ecumenical Christian in the right sense of that word across the larger work of North American and global Christianity. So I think Beeson will be a wonderful place for Wesleyans to study, and we hope and pray that we can make good partnerships with all throughout the region. I know the bishop of this area very well, and we just hope that we can make this place a welcoming place for students.
I hope so, too. You love writing. Presidents don't get a lot of time to get books written, although you did get some books written while you were president at Asbury. You have comparatively more time now thinking about the future, kind of getting back into being a regular professor again who can write books if you'd like. Anything on your mind that you might like to get to down the road?
Sure. I'm definitely interested in writing a book on like an introduction to global Christianity. I do think that I would, I think the piece, there's several books out there on the theme, but I would like to do one that's a little more theologically oriented rather than simply historical. Yeah. I would like to look at what's happening theologically in the world. I'm also really interested in what's called the global diaspora or diaspora missiology, because a lot of the way missions is still framed is around strict views of geography. People still say, you know, where are you a missionary, not to whom you're a missionary. So we still have a church that's largely framed in terms of geographic places. And yet today, with the massive global diaspora, it's changing how we understand the work of missions. And so I'd like to do a lot more study in what's called diaspora missiology and love to do some writing on that area too.
Sounds great. All right, we're about out of time, but Beeson, as I hope you're learning already, is a praying community. We believe in prayer, the power of prayer. We believe the Lord wants us to be praying without ceasing. And some of our listeners, I know, like to pray for our professors and the ministries of Beeson. So those who are listening now, they want to get to know you and they want to be including you in their prayer lives. What should they be praying about for Dr. Tim Tennant?
Well, yes, always pray that first and foremost that I would be, my wife and I would be completely consecrated to the Lord in all that we do, that we would always walk with Him and be sensitive to His calling. Secondly, that we would be able to make good connections with the Wesleyan world. I've, of course, been in Kentucky for 15 years. There's a lot of Wesleyans in Alabama and the Southeast that I need to get to know. And so I need to do a lot of traveling and meeting and speaking. And so that's just part of what I need to do. And so just pray the Lord will give me the right discernment on where to go, when to go, and to who to meet, and how I can best network for the sake of Beeson.
All right, friends, you have been listening to Dr. Tim Tennant. He is an expert in missions, world Christianity. He's the new Methodist Chair of Divinity here at Beeson Divinity School. Please keep him and his wife, Julie, in your prayers in the days ahead. Remember that we're praying for you, too. We love you, and we say goodbye for now.
You've been listening to the Beeson Podcast, coming to you from the campus of Samford University. Our theme music is by Advent Birmingham. Our announcer is Mark Gennellette. Our engineer is Rob Willis. Our producer is Neil Embry. And our show host is Doug Sweeney. For more episodes and to subscribe, visit beesondivinity.com/podcast. You can also find the Beeson Podcast on iTunes, YouTube, and Spotify.